Ladies and gentlemen, Barbara Mandrell.
Welcome back to another exciting edition of the Pointless Exercise Podcast. We have a special edition today, tonight, whenever you're listening to this. Another one of Substack's finest, Kelly Dwyer, is going to join me to talk about 80s baseball and NBA basketball and other things. And then coming up towards the end of the show, Kelly doesn't even know this, I've got a special treat. Some of the other Substack people wanted to come on and talk talk about the NBA's top 75 with us, so Barry Weiss and Glenn Greenwald will be coming in if we have time towards the end of the show. I told Matt Taibbi and Matt Iglesias they were not welcome on the podcast. So Kelly, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Glad all my buds are coming. Glad all my friends are going to be here. This is great.
I thought it'd be a treat for you. People don't know that you and I actually have the most successful Substack newsletters. Far more subscribers than those other people, but that's fine. So now yours is called The Second Arrangement.
Yes.
Located at tsa.substack.com.
Unfortunate lettering, but I went with it. Well, and soon I'm going to make mugs out of it.
Do you just want to complain about air travel?
I mean, I think at this point we're so used to... No, because I think it's almost become like a DMV thing or a BMV thing wherever you're from. Where I think my last 13,000 experiences with TSA has been rather pleasant and rather nice and rather efficient. So I think maybe it's I don't know, that's maybe just me wheeling my own business into it. But I think people are coming around on TSA. I'm gonna go up that hill.
All right. So people can subscribe to your newsletter there, and they can subscribe to mine at pointlessexercise.com. I went all out. I bought the Vandy URL and forwarded it right to it because I'm just that kind of guy.
Mine was taken.
So I wanted to ask you a question. The NBA, I remember the top 50. That was the 50th anniversary. They named the 50 best players ever. Now they're at 75, but apparently they're 76 because somebody tied. I didn't take a good look at the list, but where is Rory Sparrow on that list?
Chicago Sun-Times used to have a thing where they used to put a like a really cool player profile on the front page of the tabloid section the sports section every like Friday or maybe Thursday morning. They used to have like Charles Oakley standing next to an oak tree and Rory Sparrow. Like, I don't remember if he was hanging out with birds or
strangling
if he was a reserve
a small bird. Yes.
And I think he was only on the team for like a month and a half, but you know, Rory Sparrow, we're number two. He tends to make an impact. I spent so much time staring at that list, 76. It could, you know, like for all I know, there could be 54 stars on the American flag. I've never actually counted. So that list, number 76, doesn't really stand out. They could have just not told us that there were 76 and that there was a tie. Like instead, they're just like, oh, we weaseled out big time. And 76 now. So bicentennial.
So, I mean, I assumed Rory's on it because they actually had to change a rule because of him. Remember that it was against the Bulls. He made a game-winning shot with 0.1 seconds on the clock, which physically impossible. So then Rory Sparrow, they must have figured that Rory could have made it legally at 0.3. So they changed the rule just for him.
It was actually Trent Tucker, the former Bull. Sorry.
That's right. No, we'll good old number six because Rory was good old number two.
He was, but all former Bulls.
That's right, it was Trent Tucker.
Rory Sparrow.
So where's Trent on the list? Is he ahead of Darryl Walker or below him?
he's just somewhere at a basketball card convention going, no, I'm not Craig Hodges. I'm not, no, not Craig Hodges. No, no, no. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, no, he was kind of ahead of us. No, no, yeah, I probably did get black. No, I'm not Craig Hodges, though. Not Craig
Hodges. I told you the story about how after his unfortunate incident, my brother and I would be watching Bulls games. He'd make a couple of threes, and we would yell, Craig Hodges is on fire, literally. So the Bulls on that list, they had
Craig.
They had Michael Jordan. I assume he made it. They had Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman, Robert Chief.
I can't believe he made it.
Dwayne Wade and Carmelo Anthony.
Right. That's right.
Carmelo was a Bull for like an hour and a half.
He was, and he had his own. The United Center was made up as Carmelo Anthony Center for one day when they were trying to sign him in 2014, maybe. They outbid Phil Jackson. Bulls beat Phil Jackson. Boy, I'm happy about that. Saddled them with that contract. Parrish, so no, yeah, wow. And no Gilmore, which I think is drag, but, you know, it's not like he did much except average about 20 and 10 and make 97% of his shots and carry a basketball team when there's a huge center to go up against every night. But no, we don't want that. We want to have James Worthy because he was on TV a lot. I can't believe Parrish made it. I'm happy he made it, but like, God, did anyone in 1988 think Robert Parrish was the best 75? No, it was like, oh, here's future Hall of Famer Robert Parrish, whom we respect and admire and think is going to play about 15 more years, and he did, but no one was like 75? Weird.
So they took the top 50 that they named 25 years ago, and those guys are like, they can't get kicked off, right?
Yeah.
Which is why Parrish was on it. He shouldn't have been on it then, but he certainly still shouldn't be on it now.
But they also told us they were going to make a brand new list, and then they didn't, which is like, oh, well, all right, Paul Arizin, who actually should be on the list.
So neither Shaq or Kobe was on the original list, right? They were.
Shaq was on the original. Kobe was not. All right. So despite his protestation.
Shaq Harrison was on the original list. And then Kobe White made it.
Defense gets you far.
I don't know why people didn't make a bigger deal. I mean, the fact that Jim Boylan squandered Shaq and Kobe is super embarrassing for me.
I mean, they can still sign Shaquille Harrison, I think. I think they can. Maybe Denver, but no, Denver had him last year. But, you know, it can still happen.
I think they're looking at the team right now. They're a David Nwaba away from the
kind of. Oh, yes. If he can keep it together.
Yeah, before we get too much into basketball. So because the Cubs have given up baseball, I didn't pay as much attention to the playoffs as usual. I know the Cardinals made it. It's game two of the World Series. Is Danny Cox starting for the Cardinals?
No, he was a game one starter. he was a game one starter. And let's see, because their typical game one starter, Brendan Collins, or so they just made it with the worst pitching every year, and that somehow we're like, it's all pitching and defense with these Cardinals, and then they'd roll out like Ken Daly to start against Jack Morris.
Now, because this is an audio only podcast, you don't get the effect. I should probably screen cap it. Of Kelly has Kelly has a wide assortment of baseball cards on the wall behind him. And you mentioned that was going to be the fact. And so I got to thinking, I think it was 1983. For whatever reason, I was a young lad of 10, and I was getting, people were giving me baseball card packs. Like they had no idea what to give it to Andy. What the hell, he'll take them. And so my mom did not throw away my baseball cards. I still have them. In fact, I can see the box that are in from here, and it's not fireproof, which is probably smart. But I got a lot of 83 baseball cards. And I looked through one time. I got 5 Tony Gwynn rookie cards.
Wow.
Pretty good. I think he's number 56 in the picture. Obviously a spring training photo. But what I distinctly remember was I kept getting – the only Cubs I would get were Mike Proley and Alan Ripley. And if you've never heard of either guy, there's a reason.
Never heard of Ripley.
Because they were terrible. And because you're a Cardinal fan, I wanted to mention that as a kid, I thought it was super unfair that the Cardinals, they had the Wizard at shortstop, and then there would be times they would play Mike Ramsey at second base. And I assumed he was a magician because he looked just like Doug Henning.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Or Eddie Rabbit. One or the other. I didn't think it was fair either.
Really bringing the kids in with this one.
Yeah. Wait, let's talk duets with Eddie Rabbit. Crystal Gayle, of course, Loretta Lynn's sister. There you go.
Oh, man.
People are learning things left and right.
I can't think of a single eight. Well, no, wait, they went to the division the next year, so I guess I could name a few. I have a Doug Capella card down there somewhere. Yeah.
Doug Capella, Ken Kravec. That would have been about in the Ken Kravec era with Doug Capella.
I can't. You could make six names up. Kravec, Tom Cech.
So I remember Drew Hall. He was this long before Kerry Wood. Drew Hall was going to be the next Nolan Ryan, and the Cubs drafted him. And one year, he gave up some runs but didn't get any outs. And so Topps had to figure out how to put the infinity sign on a baseball card.
Oh, wow.
All thanks. Somebody's or some typesetter is like, so what? It's an eight only sideways? Can't do it. That's what I remember about Drew Hall.
White Sox had a guy. Was it Alvarez that had that threw a no-hitter in 91? One of like those 32 no-hitters.
Yep,
and he had an infinity ERA before that. And I have some Wilson Alvarez cards behind me somewhere that probably would represent that. But I'm not going to get up to check a Wilson Alvarez card from 1991 to see if it has a sideways eight on it. It's his fault for putting up those runs.
You get somebody out, and you get an ERA. Even if it's 128, at least it's an ERA.
I wonder if there's anyone that's...
If you get to the big leagues and you don't actually get an out, and you have to walk around.
Just infinity.
Yeah.
I'd be that guy. Here comes infinity, man. I'd have a bar.
You're never going to get an infinity pool if you have an infinity ERA. That's not going to happen.
If you play it right, if you brand it okay.
That's true.
You get that ball with a big neon purple infinity sign behind the the Tito's vodka and the Dan Aykroyd skull. You know, that's all cash. Dexter.
Who's your favorite 80s non-Cardinal?
Oh, wow. So many. So many.
Mine became a Cub, yeah. So I didn't. So it was Andre Dawson. But then I think, other than Andre Dawson, it might have been Johnny Ray.
Wow, you really were hype on Andre Dawson before 87. That's awesome. That would have been, jeez, that would have been perfect. Holy cow! Yeah. One of my favorite players is offering to play for my team with a blank check.
Yeah.
And then 87 happened, and I'd really like to find the game, his first road or first home game when he came back in 88. And hit like a million home runs and did a curtain call in Wrigley. That's not on YouTube. I'd really like to find that. I think it was against the Pirates, but I cannot recall. It's not there. Favorite one, Eric Davis. Yeah. Eric Davis. Eric Davis. Eric Davis was my favorite baseball player until Yada came around. He's my favorite basketball player until like, mid-90s. Davis, Dave Parker. I got a couple of Younce back there. Sucker for the good athletes. You know, Robin Yount, he could play every position well. That's about, when the Cardinals were so loaded with all those players in the 80s, how can you're just going to run out of, you got 280 hitting Tommy Herr and you got in his three home runs and you have a month of Tom Brunansky and Jim Lindemann and, some of the worst teams to ever field in a World Series, 87 and 2006. So, I'm all full of heroes. Thank you very much.
You had Kenny Obergfeld. Who had a perm that one guy from the Oak Ridge Boys. he might have been one of the Oak Ridge Boys for all I know.
Oak Ridge Boys were at the White Sox game this year that Cowboy Joe was at, that also I was at, that also the San Diego Chicken was at. Elk Shop Boy, Park Shop, I can't remember. Park Shop Oak Ridge Boys sang, "We're Sturdin' Girls." They did you've seen this, they did a thing with the Cubs in the mid-80s where, like, was it like Keith Moreland and Jody Davis were on stage with the Oak Ridge Boys?
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
The 84 Cubs had this horrible Rick Sutcliffe and Keith Moreland and all the crackers on the team had I think the song was
We're All Thinking It.
I think that was their song. Like, Boys in Blue are going to win it all, something like that. And yes, I'm sure the Oak Ridge Boys were on there some How?
There's clips of them on stage somewhere. I think the Oak Ridge Boys were like out in Ravinia or something like that, and they went or like world music and there's some shot of Moreland in like really tight jeans, tight 80s jeans, good white polo, looking like the other guy from I can't even remember that show. Looking like the really nice looking guy from the A-Team. But really, not Samson and Samson. Anyway, those Cubs were. I rooted for him. I mean, I didn't root for him, but I liked him. I respected him because I was never afraid of him. And the 89 team, if the 89 team as a baseball fan, and you've been around for the last 60 years, if the 89 team is not a top five team for you, then get out of here, because that team was just so much fun.
Yeah, the so one of the other podcasts that I have here is Remember This Crap, and we spin the wheel. When we do Cubs games, we spin the wheel and it lands on a year somewhere between 1980 and 2011. We just talk about that team for an hour and a half. And the 89 Cubs were my all-time favorite team until the 2015 Cubs. So they're you remember how the 2015 playoffs?
No, I don't. No, I don't. I mean, I remember some of it. I remember seeing the outside of Wrigley Field, not an outside part of it that I wanted to see because someone had hit a batted ball there. And then the rest of it was just kind of we earned that. Cardinals earned that. I'm well aware that we earned that. It was good that the Cubs beat them that year. It's a quote unquote early year when the Cubs were as good as any team ever. It's appropriate that they whooped up on a Cardinal team featuring absolutely no one that anyone should like. And then went on to World Series greatness a year later. So I'm happy with that.
Oh, good. What do you think Mike Schilt got fired for?
I mean, I want to believe it's the bullpen usage, but it's probably just he wasn't nice enough to his GM enough, and oh my God, I can't believe all these great players are everywhere. Rosarena, did you see him last night? And he just you got to apparently tell your boss about everybody, how well Luke Voit is doing, and about how well Peter Bourgeois, is that the guy's name?
Yeah, Peter Bourgeois.
Stephen Piscotty. You got to tell. You can't just tell him about how great the guys on the team are doing. You got to refer to. I got a fantasy league there, Skip, and either that or bullpen. Or maybe he lied about his minor league baseball career, and Mozeliak was like the last one to find out. Maybe he actually like submitted some time with a rookie team.
Right. Do you think in 1987 never had a job anywhere but the Cardinals lied on his resume and it took him three years to figure out it was wrong?
It's the Cardinal way.
Like, wait a minute, he claimed he managed the 1982 Cardinals to the World Series. I don't think that's right. We'll have to look it up. Somebody get the baseball almanac. Well, the Cardinals famously, Gussie Bush had. Had Harry Carey run over with a streetcar because he was sleeping with his wife. And I wondered if maybe, I mean, if you take a good look at Mike Schilt, I mean, that's a very handsome man. I wonder if there was something, a little hanky-panky going on.
Could be.
Not accusing him of anything, but.
It gets hot in the STL. It gets hot down there. Pirates are in. It's a long homestand. Maybe either that or the bullpen.
Mike's making googly eyes at, what's the owner's name? Bill DeWitt? Bob DeWitt? Something.
Yes.
DeWitt? Yeah, man,
let's just throw out some good female DeWitt names. I'm going to say a Michelle. There's a Sharon.
Joyce.
Well,
there's only one.
Joyce. Okay.
Yeah. Famously, I once got convinced Daily Herald writer Bruce Miles that Blake DeWitt was Joyce DeWitt's son. He almost wrote it in an article.
Son!
It's got so close.
Oh,
I didn't even tell you.
Couldn't even parse
tonight.
It with like nephew.
So doing the this is an apt time to tell this story. So doing the because I need to get a ruling on this. But Monday night, getting ready to do the Bears podcast, I grabbed the link for the video chat or video whatever this is video. I'm old. And sent it to Mike Pusateri, but. He was not the most recent DM on my Twitter thing, and I nearly accidentally sent the link to Adam Amin during a Bulls game. And I laughed about it, and then Mike's microphone cut out during the podcast, and we had to restart. And I did send it to Adam Amin by accident.
Yes.
Unfortunately, he didn't join from Toronto during the Bulls game. I'm still upset. But now the reason that Adam Amin had – he messaged me during the Pistons game the other night while he's working because
– Wowzer.
The I believe it's the Pistons, right? It wasn't the Pelicans. Who has Trey – is it Trey Murphy the third?
Yes, Pelicans.
The Pelicans. Okay, so during the Pelicans game. And he kept calling him Trey Murphy the third. And on Twitter, I'm like, Adam, he can't be Trey Murphy the third. He's either Trey Murphy – because the Trey is the third part. There's not two other Treys. Or he's Kenneth Murphy the third. And so Adam, during the game, during a commercial, messaged me to apologize. Like, don't apologize to me. Apologize to America.
Next time you're on TNT or TBS or MLB Network. Not on a Bulls game. I want it in between pitches.
Well, he's
I
doing
want Ron,
the Bear game.
Ron Darling to be confused.
He's doing the Bear game on Sunday. He's doing Bears Niners.
Nice.
So I think that's when he should clear that up for America.
Absolutely. Because everyone's going to be watching that.
But so I apologize to Adam Amin for sending him a Google Meet link in the middle of while he was working.
I mean, last year he would have joined.
Yeah, they didn't.
This year's different.
Him and Stacey both would have hopped on. It would have been great. Stacey King, former coach of the Rockford Lightning.
Yeah. Triangle offense.
And he was pretty good at it. Like, I think Stacey probably I would have been funny though to have Stacey teaching defense to the kids. I think would be fun. Now, I didn't do any of this. But here's what
for me, I just stood here, but you guys.
Do you remember when Stacey changed his number? He was 34 and he changed to 21 and he did it because he thought he was getting too many fouls that should have been attributed to Michael Jordan. So he switched from a jersey number with a 3 on it to one with a 2 on it.
Left-handed, 6'11", 5 years younger, missing layups versus making dunks the people judge as a 50.
Getting all MJ's
and
fouls.
He's getting confused.
Yeah, that's the idea, Stacey. You're supposed to get all of his fouls.
2 defensive rebounds per road trip. Stacey King now telling me why 20-10 Nikola Vucevic isn't bringing it tonight. That's right. It's because he's playing hard. Because you're supposed to get tired at the end of games. or be in at the end of games,
Stacey.
Why
is he all wet? Why does he get so wet? Sweat. You know, like when you're eating ribs. It's the same thing.
Yes.
You're supposed to get it from running around, not trying to digest more beef.
Jerry Krause. Yeah, let's bring in the Billy Tubbs guy. Let's bring in the 6'11 Billy Tubbs. Why is he dropping so far to 7, Jerry? Well, the other guy went to high school and no. Jerry.
Do you remember Stacey King's mom's famous quote?
No.
Why he picked Oklahoma over UNLV.
Please tell me.
So I want him to be able to read a stop sign. It's like they didn't cover that in high school? Where did Stacey go to school that they didn't get to 4-letter words?
I mean, good burn, but wow.
Yeah, it's funny.
Wow.
Good line. You see where Stacey gets his sense of humor. He is legitimately funny. I do enjoy
it. He's great. He's great.
Although
and Amin is great, too.
He's breaking out all the material from the last 4 years, figuring, screw it, none of these people saw any of that. I can use
it all again. Yeah, absolutely.
Because there's 5 David Nwabas on the court, is now there's 5 Alex Caruso's on the court.
Yeah.
He didn't even tune that joke up. Just swapped out the name.
As if we don't have Twitter. I'm okay with it because, oh gosh, I can't even remember his name. Whoever was there before Amin, he wasn't listening to King, the ancient fellow that Neil Funk. He was not listening to Stacey, and no one was watching.
Neil Funk, legitimately, one of the better NBA announcers. I think he's had a great run with the Sixers, good run with the Bulls. By the end, worn down by age and having to watch the Bulls. It was kind of rough at the end for Neil, and I don't blame him, because if I had to watch that shit, it would be rough for me, too.
Like, I didn't think he was asking to be taken off radio. It was so, and I'm happy to have Swirsky on radio. It was great, but it was just such an, I don't know why they had to get rid of Tommy Doerr, but it turned out okay. I like him to flip around the benches. They don't have the benches on the same side as they did in the 90s and the 80s, but other than that, they're wearing white at home. That's good. I'm having a hard time complaining. They beat the Pistons twice.
Yeah, so a question everyone wants to know, are the Bulls back?
I mean, they're back on TV. On NBA TV on Thursday against the Knicks, against the Bing Bong Knicks.
I was Internet's worried favorite team. I get all my NBA news from Bill Simmons. And he told me that not only did the Bulls overpay DeMar DeRozan, apparently he thought Spotify was writing a check, but no way DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine could play together. And so I believed it. And I still believe it because Bill Simmons knows everything about basketball. He wrote a ponderous 1,000-page book about it. So I just assumed that he was right. But I don't know.
I mean, I'm blocked by him on Twitter, so I haven't been able to take in his...
Do you remember the tweet that got you blocked? I remember the one that got me blocked.
It was something about I was just on a rant about how you got to keep your game up. You got to keep, as Michael Jackson once heard from Paul McCartney, you got to keep your pecker up. You got to, and I was just, you know, 4 a.m. and talk. He was on one of his, the stats are ruining baseball things. And I was like, no, baseball, just stop it. This is, whatever. It was lame, but, you know, at least I didn't say DeMar DeRozan wasn't going to pass the ball with Zach LaVine. They both have had point guard instincts since they entered the league. Even David Kahn wanted Zach LaVine to play big point guard. DeMar DeRozan was point forward for the Spurs last year. Simmons.
Mine was a reply to a tweet. He was teasing that Colin Cowherd was going to be on his podcast, and I wrote, oh, look out for the douchebag on douchebag crime. And that was the end of me with Bill Simmons, as mentioned. I really miss him. That's a lot of insight.
Holy cow.
I don't know what's going on with...
Craigers and Jimbo
T-Bone and House and whoever the fuck else. Like, Jesus. Bill Simmons, you gotta love a guy who could, you know, pull himself up on his bootstraps like that. I mean, he somehow got a job at ESPN just because six of the guys who went to his prep school already had jobs there. I remember when he stole, you know, I'm currently living in Rockford, Illinois, and you don't besmirch Fred Van Vliet, you know, famously, who bet on himself. When Simmons was asked what the name of his autobiography would be, he said it would be Bet on Yourself. And I remember when he once said that he, at his lowest moment, he had quit his job at the Boston Herald because after 3 weeks out of college, they wouldn't give him a columnist job. And he became a bartender and was going to give this internet thing a shot, and he only had $6,000. In savings.
Oh my God.
How could you get, really? Is that all you had?
Holy shit.
I was Excuse in my me. 40s Sorry. Before my bank account had a six in it. I'm pretty sure it was 100, but still, never mind.
Wow.
Yeah. People know why I don't like him. Well, that's why.
And, you know, for the kids, $6,000 in 1999 was,
on that for a year and a half.
Holy cow, Tommy.
It's not like he had to live on the $6,000.
I thought he was a bartender while he was at the Boston Herald, you know, like the rest of us, because the first journalism job didn't pay anything, so you had to be a bartender as well.
Oh, no. He had it rough. He had to go to I think he went to Choate, as one does, you know, for your 13th year, and then Holy Cross for 7 years, so you could get your bachelor's and your master's in journalism. Mom and dad got divorced. Mom married a cardiologist second time around. Dad was a superintendent of a school. So poor Paul. I don't know who Paul is. Poor Bill.
Paul's one of his boys in the van with him going to Vegas listening to Pearl Jam.
Yep. Anyway, but enough about him. You and Mark Stein still hanging out? He's got a Substack.
He does. Me and him and Grunwald and Glenwald, and we tweet 4,000 times a day, and we all thread them together, and we use perfect punctuation. And wow, I did not know I had to be an obsessive poster to have a Substack, but. The Steinline. Is it called the Steinline? I hope it's called the Steinline. It better be called the Steinline. If someone owns Steinline intellectual property besides Mark Stein, I'm going to be I'm going to be very upset. He's got one. Henry Abbott does. I think everyone should get one. It's fun to write. It's fun to put in YouTube clips of the Mandrell, Barbara Mandrell sisters doing celebration by calling the gang.
Because I'm at the age where that variety hour, that was must-see viewing for little Andy. The sisters, Barbara, of course, was the most famous. She was the oldest. But was Louise? Was that one? But the young one, they were all Barbara,
Louise
except for the
Mandrell.
David Letterman teeth. Barbara Mandrell was attractive for someone in the '80s, and the middle sister was pretty, but the younger sister was like really good looking, super good looking. I believe she was a model before she was a singer. So I really
model
liked
Mandrell,
and I'm pretty sure they all went by their middle names, which is a very Southern weird thing.
Well, their first name was George.
That's right. They were all George because that's what you do. Not Earlene. That doesn't seem right.
It seems right.
I saw that. I watched
seems
that.
Absolutely
whole, I watched,
right.
I watched that whole clip that you put in the newsletter. I watched it all.
I couldn't believe it when I found it. I was like, okay, this is definitely someone has to see this beside me. Yeah, it's a fantastic clip. Variety shows are, we still have a fair amount of them on this in terms of the Masked Singer and all that sort of thing. But, back then they were something else. They were pumping them out of Burbank with some regularity back then. And it was a good time.
So for people who didn't see the clip, they were singing Cool in the Gang Celebration, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Which I would hope whoever wins the World Series, that really needs to be the song they play immediately after the final out. They need to play the Mandrell sisters version of Celebration.
Which I have an LP of the 82 Cardinals World Series Championship, and they were probably the first to use Celebration as a theme.
Right. Well, it was new. It was a hit.
Hot hit. Cool and the Gang were sick of not having hits, and they hired a lead singer, and suddenly they became Cool and the Gang with a singer. They used to have their saxophone player singer, and he was all right, but it was, so that jungle boogie, the sort of thing. And I highly recommend early Cool and the Gang albums to the listeners. They got a streak of like four or five in a row, especially Light of Worlds, which is just incredible album. That's the one with Summertime on it by the Will Smith sample. Also a jam.
Did I ever tell you that I was at Willie McGee's first game?
Oh wow.
His debut, 1982. I believe David Green got hurt. They called up young Willie. I don't know if they moved George Hendrick to first base for the game or not. He was wearing the helmet. That's a confident outfielder who wears a helmet in the outfield, just in case. I might miss this completely, so I better wear a hard hat. But yeah, we were there. It was quite an eventful trip. We went to There must not have been Great America. So we went down to Six Flags St. Louis, whatever that was called. Six Flags Banjo Jubilee, whatever they called it. And here's some things I remember about the trip. Mom and Dad went out to eat, left the three youngins alone in the hotel, although I'm eight years younger than my brother, 9 years younger than my sister, so they were old enough to be supervising me.
Yes.
We got tornado warnings, and we were on like it's a skyscraper in St. Louis, so we're on like the 12th floor. And my sister and I head down the stairs. My brother gets on the elevator. It's what you do during a tornado. Get on the elevator. Mom and Dad come back from the restaurant, and they had a hilarious story to tell us, which was, my sister's like, so would you guys get evacuated? And they're like, no, we asked, well, the sirens were going off. We asked our waiter if we all had to leave. And he said, no, tornadoes can't hit round buildings. That became a Dolan family joke from that moment on.
Oh, my Lord.
Went to Six Flags, and my dad bought me a plastic Tweety bird. Now, I don't know if you remember going to Six Flags. You get on the, what do they call the things? The baskets that hang on the thing, and then you ride.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You ride across on the lines. There's an actual word for it.
Halfway,
I decided that Tweety's a bird. I threw him out the side. Did not fly. Did not come back. Had to buy a second one. And then we went to a Cardinals game, and we saw Willie McGee make his major league debut.
Oh, see, I thought it was in Wrigley, and that's why he was wearing the helmet to escape.
Yeah, George Hendrick just – I may have him wrong, but I'm pretty sure George Hendrick wore the helmet when he was in the field. John Oliver style.
That's fantastic. Lord knows what he was keeping up there.
Yeah, that's exactly what was – there was a baggie of something tucked under
A black book, I'm thinking, of young women in the bleachers. And, way out of St. Louis, hopefully. And, yeah, I hope some sort of stimulant and, something to help with the stimulant.
So anyway, it was summer. It was hot because it's St. Louis. And the smell of urine was in the air, which is why...
120 degrees.
Which is why I've always referred to Busch Stadium after that as the big urinal cake. Because it was shaped like it. And my memory as a young boy,
100%,
a 9-year-old, was that it smelled like pee.
It was concrete. It was like being at swim practice. Not swim practice. That would be for people on the swim team, not me. That's my brother. Swimming lessons. It was like being at swimming lessons as a child. Just that concrete everywhere. And yeah, no, it's not missed. It's not missed at all.
Now,
not by me,
why,
at least.
You know why Busch Stadium was named Busch Stadium? Seems like it's an obvious answer, but it's not.
He wanted to name it like Drink Budweiser All Day Every Day Stadium, and they wouldn't let him. Yes. And so he had to like scrape the bottom of the barrels to develop a Busch beer and then call
exactly
it
right.
Busch beer. But like it was Busch Stadium for like 3 years until they could finally get Busch beer on the shelves. And what an unveiling it was. Oh boy.
That is
that's 100% correct. That's a
Gussie
hearty
Busch
brew.
Told Bowie Kuhn that he was going to name it Budweiser Field. Bowie said you can't put a corporate name on a building, despite the fact that the Cubs would be playing at Wrigley Field forever. So Gussie said, "All right, fuck
antiquity.
You. I won't name the building after the beer. I'll name a beer after the building." And that's why Busch beer is a thing. It was
and
Gussie's
that's why Busch beer
FU.
Tastes like that.
Yes. Yeah, nobody's ever successfully finished a Busch beer, I don't think.
I have because I had a girlfriend in the early 2000s who used to enjoy playing drinking games with alongside Boggle. And one time we ended up, because she came over to my place, and I was a poor young 21-year-old, and all I had was Busch beer. And so I drank the end of a Busch beer can, and it's a beer you name a stadium after is what it is.
You can really taste the stadium. I think I got some girder.
They've been working on this since dawn.
So tomorrow night, Bulls, Knicks, Eastern Conference Finals preview?
Pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, wouldn't that be sweet? Milwaukee had its go. We had fun with them. Who else is in there? Atlanta? Nah. Yeah. Miami? Not feeling it. Yeah. Philadelphia, you can't be fighting, boys. Gotta get your stuff together. New York, Chicago, we've earned it.
What do you think? You think Pat Riley walked up to Kyle Lowry in the first practice and went, "Son, you're even fatter than I thought."
I know, because I think he's had moles surrounding him since April of 2019. As he does all his, 3 years in advance planning free agent signings. I think he was well aware. I think he could have dropped that hilarious line, but no, I think Riley knows how much I weigh right now.
That's true.
That's not why I'm not in Miami right now.
Yeah. You're not surprising, Pat, I guess.
Apparently he had a burner Twitter account back when Deadspin found it. Good Deadspin found it. And reportedly, I was one of the people that he followed on Twitter, so I was very honored.
Very
by that.
Nice.
Yeah, I was. What's he got on me?
I wonder if Bill Simmons blocked him too.
Oh yeah, probably. He brought up. He sent him a DM with his pictures of championship rings after Bill sent him a picture of a 1,000-page book. Do you have an autographed copy of Showtime by Pat Riley around here somewhere that he autographed for my mom at some sort of corporate event in 1980, whatever?
Oh, nice. I have an autographed copy of Willie Geist's book. I do, because this is great. Anyway. So he He wrote a book about him and his dad, Bill Geist, famous alum of the University of Illinois and a longtime columnist guy. And he tweeted out that he wrote this book. I'm trying to see it, and I can't see it from here, but that's fine. And he wrote, he said, I'll send autographed copies of this book to whoever writes the best tweet to me about advice you got from your dad. And I sent him actual advice from my dad, which was never trust a man in a brown suit. And Willie Geist sent me an autographed copy of his book.
Yes. Well earned.
So I was like, all right. Thanks, Dad.
That's marvelous.
I also have a, I have an autographed, what do you call it? Proof copy. What do you call a book when they send it to you? It's not done yet. They want you to, excerpt it. The book is called A Nice Little Place on the North Side by George Will.
Mm.
Sent me that to review it, to blurb it. I blurbed it. They didn't use it, but I blurbed it.
You could have been a George Will blurb.
I know. Boy, that would have gone right on the top of the resume.
It could have been a Will blurb.
Will blurb.
In between... In between Bill Kristol and Tony La Russa, it would have been fantastic.
How about any other autographed books, other than that? I'm in Kevin Kadick's book, and he didn't autograph one. I think I had to buy the fucking thing.
I read his in a library in
you
Muncie.
Remember that? You remember
Fort
that?
Fort Wayne.
Oh
yeah.
There. So he wanted me to interview me for the book, and I got tickets to a Cubs Cardinal game, and I asked you to go with. And so I met Kevin at a bar, and we talked for about an hour, and then you showed up, and then we went to the Cub game. And I said some things in that book that are completely politically incorrect. But I hope no one ever reads. As much as I like Kevin, I hope nobody ever reads that book again.
Because I'll get a lot of libraries.
I don't want to get canceled. I can't afford to get canceled.
Yeah, you can. Canceling is the best way to make money these days.
That's true. I already have the Substack.
Especially, I already have Substack.
Can you get, what happens, you're supposed to get canceled and then start the Substack. What happens if you have the Substack and then you get canceled? We're in the Matrix, I think.
Yeah.
That could be rough.
I know. I need to lose my password to the Substack. Go out there, rob a 7-Eleven, get canned. You know, say
I'll just start.
Unforgivable things about the Prussians are belligerent, and you know, just things I can that no one can accept. Get canceled and come back and do the Substack again. I'm trying, but you know, it's hard when you're so milquetoast like me to have things. I am banned from every bar and liquor store in the state of Wisconsin. I can proudly announce that. That happened.
Is your picture in every one of them?
Yeah, really. I don't have the paperwork. Darn it. I got busted for weed in Wisconsin.
Oh.
A tavern and a liquor store had nothing to do with it. I was driving my aunt back to her hotel room as the sober driver from a little cottage and being the nice guy and driving her a block and a half. And a police officer noticed I didn't have a front license plate and pulled me over and found my stash.
Because your car was from Indiana. Right?
Exactly.
And you guys don't have front license plates.
We don't have front license plates. And but at no point did I say, like, yes, we were all at bars, taverns, and liquor stores earlier today, and that's where this all started.
How about
this
supper clubs? Are you banned from supper clubs?
Me and
you can still
me
do
and
fine
John
in
Davidson.
Wisconsin just going to supper club to supper club.
Oh God. Just do half a little dinner theater, little sing song, little dance, a couple of jokes here and there, a little political humor. Yeah, I can run a supper club show.
So there's a
me and John Davidson. Just point out all the exits.
That's right. There's a
tavern. A Beverly Hills supper fire club joke, people.
There's a tavern
Eddie Rabbit
in,
was playing there.
In Beloit, Wisconsin, called Hanson's. And it has the best hamburgers around. Great. And so my wife and I went up there just to go get a hamburger. And we're sitting there ordering, and she looks, and on the menu is a brat burger. And she's like, I think I'd rather have that. So in her mind, now Johnsonville actually sells these things. It's a brat burger. They basically take a brat, and they grind it up, and they shape it into a patty, which I don't know why you would need that, but that's fine. That's what she thought she was getting. What do you think a brat burger in Wisconsin is?
Oh. Oh, they didn't make some sort of unholy amalgamation of sausage and ground beef, did they?
They didn't. Here's what
okay,
they did.
Okay, thank goodness. Thank goodness.
So she gets it, and it's a hamburger with a brat split on top of it.
Oh.
So all she had to do was slide the patty out and just eat it like a hamburger.
Yeah, the brat burger, yeah.
It's like, okay, guys, it's not. Why would anybody?
I respect that. I respect that. Going over there for something special and then just that's good. And okay, yeah, we've all had the Jansenville brat burger. It's basically pork sausage on a bun. It's very tasty. Yeah, that's what I'd expect. I wouldn't expect the butterfly bratwurst on top of a cheeseburger. But that's, you know, Beloit and I in Wisconsin apparently don't really get along too well.
So to go back to 80s baseball, so at a different bar, Cartoons, C-A-R-T-O-O-N-S, went to that bar, and Don Money, Gold Glove third baseman for the Philadelphia Phillies, lost his job with the Phillies to Mike Schmidt, lost his job with Paul Mahler. Pretty good. Two Hall of Famer.
he's money.
He's manager of the Beloit Snappers. Yeah. And we're at the bar, and he comes in, and he's like, hey, guys. He comes over, and we were playing darts. And he's like, hey, can I play darts with you guys? I'm like, sure, why not? And he's like, what are you playing? We're playing cricket. Oh, don't know how to play that. What is it? We're like, all right, fuck you, Don. You played Major League Baseball for, what, 10 years? You played Minor League Baseball for 5? You're going to hustle a bunch of poor 20-year-olds by pretending that you don't know how to play cricket?
And he
fessed up that, of course, he knew how to play it.
So. I thought you were like, wow. Well, you know, there are these Michael Jordans. They're everywhere. They're just everywhere. And
that's right.
Whether they're minor league,
just pretending.
The guy that held the seat for Paul Mahler, future designated hitter, or Jordan himself, that you know the competition comes out.
Start at 301 and go backwards. Yeah, that's how it works.
God, Don. Don.
So I don't know. Who was? I watch some of the weirdest shit, and one of the things I love, and I have to admit that I've lost contact with it during the pandemic. I need to get back to it. Is BBC America on? I believe it's Sunday mornings. Premier League darts. Have you ever watched Premier League darts?
Oh wow! Goodness, no. So that's like live, probably.
It's amazing. No, they're on tape because they condense the match a little bit.
Okay.
But it's amazing. So here's what it is. People haven't seen Premier League darts. You have to immediately go to your, if you're still like me and you have cable, go to your DVR and set it. Otherwise, go to the Google so I'm sure you can find it. Some of the finest athletes you've ever seen. These British guys. They wear shirts. They wear like, they're dressed like less athletic bowlers.
I think I know. Yeah.
So they it's wear like these kind of button up. They're basically bowling shirts, but they're button up and they have a million logos on them because they're sponsored by everybody. There's one guy who's really good, but he shaves a mohawk into his hair. He's too old to have a mohawk, but he shaves it into his hair. And then he puts temporary tattoos on the sides of his head that match whatever the design on his shirt is. So he's going all
out. No.
And he always colors his mohawk a different color.
But
they come out, so it looks like it would be super fun to go to, except in the pandemic, I'm sure it sucked, but hopefully when things get back to, if they're back to normal, they go back to this. Basically, it's like, it looks like they set everything up, like, in the middle of, like a basketball arena.
Yeah.
They set up tables everywhere. It's kind of a combination of the Golden Globes. There are these big round tables with the drunkest people you've ever seen at. And then up at the front, they have a little stage set up that has the dartboard, and the guys come in like boxers. They pick their own walk-in music,
yes,
and the place goes nuts when they come in. There's spotlights on them. They follow them down the thing. They line up and they play darts. And then the best part for me, I like it because I like trying to do the math as quickly as the guy yelling the score, because what they do is so they'll hit like a triple 16.
Okay.
And so, what's that? 48. So, there's a guy who always has this weird affected voice, will immediately take whatever the score was minus 48 and yell it out. So, be like, 148. And they love it when they hit a triple 20. They go nuts when they hit triple 20. And you just watch it. And I, for whatever reason, I stumbled into Premier League darts, and I had to watch it every week. It's it's the best.
It's Premier League. No relegation here.
I want to get on the postgame show. I want to be the Charles Barkley of Premier League darts.
That doesn't know it. But knows enough.
You want to be the... I mean, the thing I love about Charles...
You know the game, but you don't know the people.
Right. You don't. You have no idea who is playing.
Yeah.
You haven't watched... It feels like you haven't watched a basketball game in 20 years. And when he does college basketball, it's even worse.
It's worse.
He has no idea who anybody
no
is.
No clue.
And yet,
but you got still, an idea.
It's still super entertaining. I don't know how he does it. No one else could get away with it. Nobody else could be that uninformed and have everybody go, you know what, that was fun. Like Charles.
Like James Caan, maybe. I don't know who these guys are. That's
stay
awesome.
Stay off the throughway, huh, Sonny?
I don't know why it. I mean, it's weird that it hasn't caught on. I'm happy BBC America is doing it because every time I went over there for like the last 10 years, they'd be showing something that was not Anglophile at all. And this is just like primo stuff. This is like what Tom Jones's wife watches or something. This is that is some fantastic well, at 7 a.m. on a Sunday.
Right.
I mean, at least the Parliament shows are on C-SPAN. The British yelling, that's at least at like nighttime on a Sunday, 7 a.m. on us. Yeah. You know, that's like fishing shows and darts.
Yeah, that's for the fantastic. Longest time, and hopefully we'll get back to this. My weekend routine was hit the old DVR and watch This Old House and Ask This Old House so I could, you know, fix up my, not that old house, but it's still, you know, it's what, made in the 60s. And Premier League darts. And that's what I did every morning. It was great. And then during football season, I could watch Arsenal get humiliated. Here's the problem. Okay, right. So I grew up, most of my sports teams were assigned to me.
Okay. Right?
I was a Cub fan because my dad was a Cub fan. I was a Bear fan because my dad was a Bears fan. I was a Bulls fan because, hey, I like Chicago sports. They're the Bulls. That's my team.
They're right there.
When I finally get a chance to pick a team, I decide in 2006 after the World Cup, I like this crazy football shit. I'm going to watch this. I have my pick of any team in Europe, any team at all. And I pick the Cubs of Europe. I pick Arsenal. They haven't won shit since I started watching it in 2006. Just a few years before, they went through the Premier League undefeated. The only team that ever did it. I missed out all that.
So did the Ricketts buy them?
Even had I not been assigned the Cubs, the Bears, and the Bulls, I would have picked them anyway. Somehow. I would have just gotten them. So.
Bearish, it's been a tough. But I haven't watched any Bears this year. I've watched a lot of Bulls. Cubs, it was just heartbreaking to watch it. And you and Mike just document it. You're sitting there doing podcasts about like 1991 and 1997. And meanwhile, like every week, the Cubs are dismantling worse and worse.
Right, remember, not unlike this week's team. It's kind of like it is now.
Yeah, when we lost 11 in a row.
Except there's no, Chico Walker isn't involved in any of this right now. But
yeah.
He was then.
Domingo yeah, you got Ramos. Madrigal.
I loved Domingo Ramos as a kid.
He was fun. He was fun. A lot of his cards.
There was a kid on it, one of our little league teams that wore the, poor kid needed glasses as a young child, and he was Tom Verizer for an entire season.
He just is.
Hey, Tommy Verizer, shut up! It's like, hey. He's the only guy we know wears glasses. That's you, buddy.
I mean, the 80s were full of them, though. The 80s were just lousy.
Yeah.
I mean, how did Vance Law's glasses stay on his face while manning that hot corner?
I don't know. I don't understand. People talk about, they like to talk about, you know, Ozzy and Jose Guillen or Canseco. They talk about, you know, great brothers who played. The Alou brothers, there were three of them. Nobody ever talks about the fact that the 83 White Sox had twins who were amazing at their positions, Vance and Rudy Law.
That's right, Rudy Law.
And what are the odds of that? The twin brothers. would start on the same division championship team.
Nobody no one makes a big deal about Twins, and it's a bummer. It really is. Two Twins on a basketball team, on a baseball, just that's incredible. And not everyone rather talk about Lamar Hoyt.
Oh, and I was going to ask you about the 76 best players ever. How many of the Canards made it?
The Zellers and the
Zellers.
The Plumleys are four. Zellers are three. Canard. There will be more Canards.
Yeah, there will.
Because you know, I don't know his marital situation, but I got a good feeling that ends with a blonde woman standing in front of a chalkboard with different various types of blue and pink chalk writing down Casey Lee and Mandelettes and you know Evanson, Braden, Bill, and you know all those other names. So I'm sure the Canards will get at it soon enough. There'll be plenty. Just like the DeShields, I got to see Delino DeShield Jr.'s first game in person earlier this year. That was fun. I like having three Delino DeShields kids running around. That is fun. I love that.
You're shocked. I have a Delino DeShields story.
Yes.
So sometime in the these had to be in the 90s, Rockford had a minor league, had an actual minor league affiliated baseball franchise, which they then lost. It was a whole thing. Like, so Beloit had the Brewers, and in the Midwest League, there's territories, and Rockford fell into Beloit's territory, and Rockford was like, hey, we need an affiliated minor league team, too, and Beloit, after being pressured for a while, said, fine, you can have one. So they got one, and what they really wanted was the Cubs. They wanted to be the Rockford Cubs, and eventually they did get the Cubs. They were the Rockford Cubbies, which was terrible, and it only lasted a few years, and they had this shitty stadium out on the south side of Rockford, which was somewhat close to where the Rockford Peaches of League of Their Own fame had played, which is Beyer Stadium, which is the whole thing. Right now, there's this huge kerfuffle, which is a great word, in Rockford about where they're going to put the, I forget the acronym for the All Women's American.
Oh, yeah, it's huge. But it's like 17 letters.
They're going to build a Hall of Fame and museum. And Amazon is doing a League of Their Own TV series. And Abby Jacobson from Broad City is the kind of the writer, director, star of the show. Sweet. So Rockford is like, we got to hurry up and set up this Hall of Fame because the Peaches are going to be part of the show. It's going to be great. And they're fighting over that about they want to – one group wants to put it where Beyer Stadium is. The other one wants to put it across the street. So Beyer Stadium, because they'll be there. Beyer Stadium's a shithole. They should put it where it is and close the stadium. But anyway. Rockford had a team. They were the Rockford Reds. Then they were the Rockford Expos. So when they were the Rockford Expos, their hot prospect was Delino DeShields.
No.
And a guy that I knew, Kim Lepak, was the sports guy on Channel 17 in Rockford. And he's interviewing Delino DeShields. And while he's interviewing Delino DeShields, they're standing down like the third baseline.
Okay.
He's interviewing Delino DeShields. Somebody's taking batting practice. During the interview, ball hits Kim. He has three balls for a second. Drops him like a sack of potatoes. One of the funniest things ever seen. You used to be able to find the blooper on YouTube. It's now been... Kim must have sent his law team out, and they have since expunged it.
He's probably dating again, and he wants, you know, he doesn't want anything to get out there about his availability in terms of
this,
the old...
Now, this podcast wouldn't be a good place to air unsubstantiated rumors. But at the same time, we had the Rockford Expos, we had the Rockford Lightning. The CBA, great CBA franchise. First coach ever, Norm Van Leer. Second coach ever, CBA Hall of Famer, Mauro Panaggio.
What that is?
We don't know Mauro Panaggio.
Wow. Okay.
This is while Phil Jackson was coaching the Albany Patroons. And then when Phil left, the Albany Patroons, you know who took over the Albany Patroons?
George Carl.
Charlie Rosen. Sure. Charlie Rosen coached the Rockford Lightning for a while.
Oh, that's right.
Phil Jackson biographer, or whatever Charlie was. Charlie actually really funny. Norv Van Leer's coaching the Lightning. Benny Anders. You remember Benny Anders from, Stacey King keeps going about Chai Slamajama. Benny Anders, actual.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's right. Okay.
Played on those Houston teams with Akeem and Clyde. You'd be shocked to know that during a game, Norm decided that Benny's effort was not up to par and tried to beat Benny up in the locker room at halftime. Norm got fired. Anyway, one of the best players for the Lightning during that era was a guy named Pace Mannion.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah.
I believe Pace's son is like a hot shot.
He is.
Boise State, maybe Gonzaga, somewhere else.
He's with the Warriors now.
Okay. Pace Mannion got a 10-day contract with the Celtics, went up to the Celtics, and was pretty sure he was going to get a second 10-day contract. Get the second 10-day contract, pretty much guaranteed they're just going to sign him for the rest of the season. So he gets rid of his apartment in Rockford, which I'm sure cost thousands of dollars in the 80s, probably $125. Got rid of his apartment. Celtics, during the second 10 days, said, Pace, sorry, we're going to let you go. So he comes back to Rockford, has nowhere to live. So his buddy, Kim, sports guy at Channel 17, says, why don't you just live with me? You live with me and the wife. It'd be fine. Pace is like, all right, that'd be good. I don't know if you ever heard the story about Rick Manning and Dennis Eckersley.
Yes.
That happened to Kim Lepak.
Ooh. 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 So I hope everyone is handling it as well as Eck has handled his.
That's
but,
right.
Oh.
Eck, it's like, he's.
Eck rolled with it.
Broadcast. They're playing, the Red Sox are playing the Indians. And he's like, hey, good to see my old buddy Rick Manning. We used to be roommates in Cleveland. Actually, my ex-wife is married to him now. Yeah, we know, Dennis. We know.
We know, Dan.
We
know.
Doesn't care. Ex is happy to be Eck. He doesn't care.
He's great. I can't believe he's so cool with that. Yeah, Pace Manning. One of the ugliest photos I've ever seen of any basketball player ever was a photo of Pace Manning in one of those Roland Lazenby. Not Roland Lazenby. Anyway, yeah, he's a whew, that's an interesting tale. So good for Pace, keeping ahead of it.
Rockford Lightning team ever. Speaking of attractive men, Ken the Animal Bannister played for them.
Oh,
yeah,
productive player.
Yeah.
Wow, I gotta look up that Moro Mahogany.
Moro, I believe his son Dan may have coached the Timberwolves.
Okay.
Dan Panaggio?
No. No.
I think so.
Tom Pagnozzi. I remember the drummer and the bass player from Styx.
Dan Panaggio is.
And none of those guys. God, Rockford. The Lightning. Wow. That needs to be a book. I mean, Storm and Norbin's been gone for going on 12 years now. We need to start getting some stuff out there on him. Just throwing at people. Another number two.
Oh, I was a little off. Dan Panaggio, he didn't coach the Minnesota Timberwolves. He coached the Quad City Thunder.
I mean, not
but he did win
best of seven series.
He won CBA championships in 1994 and 1998. And he was on Mo Cheek's staff with the Blazers from 01 to 05. Current Bulls assistant coach.
Cheeks. Oh, Cheeks.
Maurice Cheeks.
Wow. So we got Coach Iverson.
Who apparently Io Desunmu bothers relentlessly. Just ask Mo questions all the time, which is great.
Good.
The coaches love it. That's what you want.
Good.
Your rookie is supposed to realize he doesn't know everything and ask. So that's good.
Annoy the heck out of a good guy to annoy the heck out of. Especially if, you know, I've seen his shot. He's not gonna, you know, Mo Cheeks is the avatar here. That's who you gotta follow if you're Io. I can't believe so they had Norm Van Leer, Stacey King. That's just an incredible. I'm just upset I didn't go see any more Rockford games. I saw the 6'4" and under basketball league with Larry Jordan.
Oh, Larry Jordan, yeah.
I never saw any Rockford
Lightning games. The CBA was great. You got points for winning quarters.
Yeah.
To try to keep it competitive, even if there was a blowout. I have a friend. Who I played Little League Baseball with, Ryan Hoover, who played basketball in Notre Dame, who played for the Lightning.
Oh, cool.
I believe at the time he left Notre Dame, he was the all-time three-point shooter. And he played for John McLeod.
Let's just say, Blair McLeod?
Yeah.
Because
played with Brooks Boyer, who is the PR director for the Chicago White Sox. I don't know if Pat Connaughton, whatever the fuck
Connaughton?
I don't know if he broke Ryan's record or not. Ryan played for the Lightning, and then he had gotten a job as an assistant coach. He went to Europe for a little while, played over there, got a job as assistant coach at Valpo under Homer, Drew. And Bryce signed like that ridiculous contract with the Hornets. And Ryan's like, fuck this, I'm as good as Bryce Drew. And he went back to play for the Lightning, thinking he was going to work his way back to the NBA, or work his way to the NBA. Didn't quite work out.
I have played in a basketball game with Bryce Drew. He was awfully good at basketball.
Oh, I'm sure he was, yeah.
He was taking it at 1%. He had just been drafted. Or no, he was about to be drafted-ish. And, yeah, he was awfully good at basketball.
So when I was a kid, it would have been what year did Len Bias die?
86.
So I was at the University of Dubuque basketball camp, 1986. Because that's when the draft was one night, and then the next day we found out that Len, I tried coke for the first time ever. Just terrible luck. Tried coke for the first time ever and died. A warning to you kids out there: don't do cocaine. Your heart will explode.
Don't do Maryland cocaine.
So I would have been, 1986, I would have been 13. And I guess you had to be 13 or older to be at this camp, because Ryan Hoover, who was 12, got in special dispensation to come to the camp. Mm-hmm. And the team I had been playing on all week, I got traded to another team for Ryan Hoover. So I go to the new team, and they are super pissed.
They hate you.
Right. Like, we want the 12-year-old who's kicking everybody's ass.
Yeah.
We don't want you. And so then I had to tell him, like, we rode back together. I had to tell him the car the rest of the time. That was great. Everybody's pissed. I got traded for you. He said, well, you know, what are you going to do? Sorry. Yeah, he got most valuable camper, and he was too young to be at the camp. So we knew he was a little different.
Nice.
I'm sure people at home. Ryan this
Hoover.
Is great. We got more
Ryan Hoover
stories. We got Ryan Hoover stories. Pace Mannion. Just what I tuned
in. Pace Mannion's kid plays with the Warriors, or maybe he's in Santa Cruz right now. But I encourage everyone to go Google Pace Mannion. PACEMANNION. He was a basketball player with some wild hair and a mustache. All that mustache.
Yep. So yeah, people tuned in for us to break down the Eastern and Western Conference.
Okay, like well, the Bulls. It's
I feel
Bulls.
Like kind of done that for them.
Bulls, Knicks. You know, the Bulls are going to lead the league in steals this year. The Knicks are going to lead the league in three pointers this year. It'll be a fun game to watch on Thursday. Patrick Williams, I hope, will break double figure rebounds for the season. I think in this first game of the second week of the season. And hopefully Nikola Vucevic will be back on the making layups train, which he's had a little trouble. He's running. He's the only big guy out there because Alize Johnson is not a basketball player. He's Alize Johnson.
Who is the who's the mop handle that they signed from Oklahoma City that's supposed to be the backup center?
Oh, Tony Bradley.
Yeah, he's hurt, right?
He's very good. He's one of those like Sean Rooks types where it's like, that's the best backup center in the NBA. It's like, can he start? No, you'd be terrible.
So that
you'd
will help
awful.
When he's actually ambulatory.
Yes.
And can play.
Which is, you know, occasional, but
so,
still.
I don't know, did you watch the, speaking of 80s, did you watch the show Coach? Craig T. Nelson?
Fuck no. I'm sorry, no. No, Jerry if Randall. I got, if, no, I mean, I've seen it, I'm aware of it, I know of that.
So there was a character on the show.
Who was the woman? Shelley Fabres, right? Is that,
yes,
that the...
yes. Shelley yes. Fabres, she played okay. Coach's girlfriend. There was another woman on the show who played a character named Judy Watkins, and she was the volleyball coach at Minnesota State, and she was a very tall, skinny blonde, and she was dating Dauber Dubinsky, who was the defensive coordinator of the football team. So she would come into the football office, and I don't know why I remember this, but I think of this every time I see a mop. Coach Hayden Fox, Craig T. Nelson, not a big fan of Judy Watkins.
Yeah.
Went into a closet, pulled out a mop, held it up, and said, look, it's a Judy Watkins doll. I think of that every time I see a mop. And that Tony Bradley is the Judy Watkins doll.
It's the Judy Watkins doll.
All year. I'm going to call Judy Watkins.
I'll take any chance to think of Dobler. I'll take any chance to think of Jerry Van Dyke. That's why I drive through Effingham as often as I can to just catch on to the home of those two giants of the Midwestern scene. No, it's a fine show. It's just, you know, there were other, you know.
When you get, I watched it every week.
When you're a child and you don't get access to the television, you got to.
I had a Minnesota State Screaming Eagles shirt.
Oh, wow. That is awesome. That is cool as hell. No, I mean, that's back when that Viking purple was huge. Yep. And yeah, I would have run with that. That would have been, you know, and Craig T, you know, the best thing. Who's the other guy with the middle name? Gerald McRaney. That's the guy I was thinking about. He's your evil Craig T.
Burke's husband.
Simon and Simon, you know, he does those canned hunts where you put like, you know, 42 turkeys inside a garage and you give them a, you know, that AR-15 and just let them go nuts. No Gerald McRaney. Yes to Craig T. Nelson. I can't believe I remember Shelley Fabre's name.
That was impressive. We had a Delta Burke reference on the podcast yesterday about the Bears and Niners because O.J. Simpson came up. And I was trying, because he played for the Niners against the Bears one year. And I was asking Mike Donahue, I'm like, I kind of lost track of O.J. I remember went to community college in San Francisco, played at USC, won a Heisman. Played for the Bills, rushed for 2,000 yards, was on First and 10 on HBO, and used to fly through airports.
Wow.
And I don't know whatever happened to him after that.
He's on Twitter. He got on Twitter. I think you can get a cameo for him, but, you know, I think it has to be supervised. I forgot he was a 49er, too. And he had, like, a head that was so Hollywood at that point it couldn't fit inside the helmet. It was just a giant Battle of the Network Stars head. That 49ers team, I haven't listened to that podcast yet. That NFC Championship, is that what you did it on? That was just harsh. It was just a
we did great thoroughly moments in Bears Niners history. And so yeah, there were three playoff games. I believe I did the math, and the Bears lost the three playoff games by a combined score of 108-18.
Oh, God. The 84-89 and some other thing I don't want to remember. Oh, yeah, Steve Young here.
Went out and gave up 50 points.
So that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
We should have let the Vikings take that. They just should have laid down for the Vikings and let them take that one. But no, we had to win a playoff game for the first time in however many years.
Well, you mentioned Battle of Network Stars, and somebody had posted a clip of that I spent way too much time watching, of a they used to do the dunk tank as part of the Battle of the Network Stars. They had a couple of Heathers, Heather Locklear and Heather Thomas.
Nice.
I watched
solid. Those. Solid.
Yes.
Solid Very group.
Solid.
They used to show it on Trio in the early 2000s. They had, Charlene Tilton was in the dunk tank, but they had Baba Black Sheep, who's the guy from that show. I can't remember. Billy Crystal was in it. He was running around. Gabe Kapler took it way too seriously.
Of course.
The gentleman from Baba Black Sheep, famous actor whose name I can't remember. People are yelling at the podcast
now.
He took it. Bob Conrad. Bob he took it very shopping on cigarettes.
I like that's what you remember Bob Conrad from.
Because I remember him from Battle.
World War II. He was a show that probably had four episodes before it got canceled. But that's what you remember Robert Conrad for.
Yeah, pretty much. That's all I'm good for with these IMDBs. You know, it's like we're putting together a movie called Caddyshack starring Danny O'Keefe. It's not unlike that. I don't remember. I just remember him from Battle of the Network Stars, and that's what he was promoting at the time that he was running the baton all around Pepperdine University campus.
Yeah, it's similar. I remember Orson Welles as the Scooby-Doo narrator. What did he narrate? He narrated some horrible cartoon. I forget.
He was on. He was the voice of something on Transformers, the movie.
Oh,
was he Optimus Prime? I can't remember.
I don't know.
I just remember, like every other kid of a certain age, that was the first time we discovered grief. Is when Optimus Prime went all black, and the first like they killed the beloved character. We're all 5 years old watching this thing, going, "What is this impermanent life that we've just entered into?" It was, and Orson Welles, they were like, he's showing up drunk on set. We need to just write him out early, can't we? You know, there's no law that says these robot things can't die. So why don't we just, get rid of Orson for the next. I don't remember who else is in the Transformers movie. Like, I think they just spent it all on Orson Welles and like occasional, you know, like Nancy Cartwright or something.
I mean, I feel bad that the timing didn't work out, that Orson Welles and Shia LaBeouf didn't get to be in a Transformers movie together.
Both with bags over their heads. Weird, arty. I do encourage anyone who just wants to feel dumb to just go watch Orson Welles talk to Dick Cavett on YouTube for 20 minutes. It's so much fun. He's not being elusive. He's not being weird. He's just, good man. Good man. Fine films. Large suits. Very large suits. Goodness, the size of those suits.
So there's there was an HBO movie made about the making of Citizen Kane called RKO 251.
Did you ever see that? Yeah, I did. With Leah a lot, Schreiber. Actually.
And John Malkovich. Leah plays Orson Welles and John plays Herman Wankiewicz. It's a great movie.
It's a fantastic movie.
Yeah, so there you go, kids. I'm sure it's on HBO Max. It's got to be. They own it. So you can watch that. If you've never seen Citizen Kane.
It does not matter.
Yeah, you should
watch that movie. They give Rosebud spoilers at the end, but it's at the end of that movie, of the RKO movie.
Yeah. By now, I think most people. Actually, in RKO 251, you get the much better explanation as to what Rosebud meant. That you do not get from Citizen Kane.
So. Yeah, it's a fine flick. It's a fine flick. Liev, what's he doing commercials for? Is it Lincoln? Is he on the Lincoln thing? Or he's just in a car because that's where they have to film him?
Yeah.
He's doing some sort of commercials now. I don't...
Melanie Griffith is in it, right? She plays Marion Davies? I think that's Melanie Griffith.
Is it her? Yeah. And she goes for it, which is great.
There you go. Well, that's what I'm sure everybody expected from this podcast is... Talk about a movie about making of Citizen.
I mean, I've seen 20 movies in my lifetime, so yeah, I recommend that. Okay, what do they want? The Bulls last year, they didn't shoot any free throws, and that was a real bugaboo. This year, they're shooting a ton of free throws. Last year, they could defensive rebound real well. This year, not so much, because again, Patrick Williams, he's having a tough time getting into it. Watch the Knicks game. It's October. It doesn't matter. Basketball does not count until maybe February, probably April. And, you know, go have some fun. Now the Bulls are wearing white at home, so you don't have to have that weird red bleeding into the United Center court thing again.
Yeah, especially since, for whatever reason, when they wore the red at home, Zach insisted on wearing those lime green shoes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like, it's not the Christmas game. It's not. Don't do it. I wondered during the Raptors game, because... Patrick Williams was guarding Scotty Barnes for much of it. If Billy Donovan wasn't like, Patrick, would you just, do you see Scotty? Would you just be that? Because you can be. You guys are the same guy, except he actually shoots once in a while.
He's awfully timid. He's awfully timid. Stephen Noah does a great Substack. He's, you know, I don't know what he did to get canceled, but he's, so obviously he's a terrible person, but he's got a great Substack on the Bulls. N-O-H, Stephen Noah, Athletic. Yeah.
Yes. He, like me, ran to the Substack after the Athletic said, that's enough.
And his stuff, and he does great breakdowns on what, you know, Williams, he's just passing up shots, and it's a very equal opportunity offense. There's a lot of passing. There's a lot of screening. There's a lot of, they cut a lot last year, even when they were Stinko, and they certainly cut a lot this year, which is great. And Patrick, you know, that I do worry about them overpassing a lot. I think they're a little too all-star gamey, especially with Vucevic and Levine, and they're just too friendly, but you know, they'll get used to it. They're also probably going to lose like, you know, the half of their next 12 games, but that's okay. It's a team you can root for. There's no Dwayne Wade. There's no Rajon Rondo. There's no Boylan. There's no Lauri Markkanen. It's just an okay basketball team. And that's all we wanted.
How many teams nowadays do you get a 6'4" backup center who just tries to dunk every time he gets the ball? Devontae Green
is so good. Is so good. He's great. They start him in the preseason, and you know he's been a little on the bench since then. But you guys, he's like five David Nwabas all rolled into one. He's just, I would really recommend going and watching him. They pass. They play defense. Caruso is like way up there in steal percentage. And Lonzo Ball has. They all have legs to do things because the general manager treated the team like an actual NBA team and went out and got like more than one person. Just got a bunch of people. So LaVine has legs at the end of the game, and Lonzo Ball isn't like a worn out point guard because he's got Caruso and soon he'll have Kobe and he's got LaVine handling the ball, and it's just. It's a fun little basketball team. It's nice. And Donovan is just competent. It's just, plays that everyone else runs, plays that I can recognize from other teams. It's a normal basketball team.
I thought it was really nice of the NBA. They were so impressed by Arturas' ability to negotiate a complete contract and sign and trade within 3 minutes. That they're doing an investigation because I think they want to like publish it as a case study, right? Isn't that why they're investigating how that happened?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. 100%.
Here you go, guys. This is how you do this. Look at, let's bring Arturas in to explain. How did you do this in 3 minutes? It's astounding.
How did you lose us a draft pick just to get, some journalists, some Twitter clout? Yep. That might happen. The Bulls might lose a draft pick, but you know, so what? It's the Pat Riley thing, which I'm into. Just
they got a second round pick in the Lowry Markkanen trade, and I figured it was like, all right, here's the pick that we're going to give to the NBA for signing, for getting Lonzo. Here, take this one. It's fine. We're not going to use
please
it anyway.
Say- fine. Yeah, I mean, there should be some scale on that. Like if one first round pick or you know like 12. Second round pick, six to 12 second round picks should be enough because you got to have everyone tuning in on the draft night. Every team should have to have a draft pick on draft night just to make their fans tune in and watch all of it and wait. And then 19 comes up and you get a pick.
Well,
would
the Ted Stepien rule actually apply to punitive draft pick taking? To where they're like, well, we can't take one from them this year. They didn't have a first round pick last year.
Oh, that might be. I mean, I don't think they did it to Minnesota, but then they don't want Minnesota to win. They want the Bulls to win. They should want the Bulls to win. They wear white at home, and it is way much better now that the Knicks are fun. It is. It's cool. I enjoy that. I liked it when the Bulls were not so great after Jordan, and you got a little Nick bump there because you knew they were never going to win a title with Sprewell in Houston, but it was good to see them make a little noise while they were, you know, not dangerous. Not in anyone's way. So if the Bulls lose tomorrow, you got to understand it because it's Tibbs. It's Tibbs rolling into town. He's going to want to play guys, even if it's a 20-point game with 2 minutes left, he's going to be playing guys. Doesn't matter that he's playing the Bulls. He could be playing the Pacers. Tibbs just wants the Tibbs.
Right. No one will try harder to win an October Thursday night game than Tom Thibodeau. It doesn't matter who the opponent is. If it's on the schedule, he's going to try to win it, no matter how many minutes he has to play everybody. Doesn't care.
And the Bulls, they have, like, everyone knows their setup now, and they know their plays, but they finally have enough players to where it's just like, it doesn't matter that you know we're doing this thing that the Atlanta Hawks run or that this thing that the Lakers run, because it's just, you still have ballers out there that could put the ball in the basket. And it's odd to consider Zach LaVine a super duper star. It's weird for me. I've been watching him on League Pass since the beginning. And so to see this weird sort of gradual ascent, I understand fans might be dubious, but he still goes and makes a bunch of basketball shots. So until it falls apart, I'm not saying they're going to win 50 games, but you know, they're going to beat all the bad teams this year. That's already proven and been proven. And that's got to be worth something.
Right. And they're, at least so far, and I don't see why it would change, they're legitimately fun to watch.
Yeah.
Like, it's not torturous, awful basketball. They're competent and they're fun.
I feel like the more we talk about it, the more they sound like the White Sox.
No, I wouldn't know.
Just beating all the bad teams.
So it's Joakim Noah night. Joakim Noah night. I won't call him Joakim because he's not Swedish. Is he? He's not Swedish. Maybe his mom was Swedish. French, I guess. No, his dad was French. Anyway. What do they?
Yeah, Swedish.
What constitutes his night. Like, they're not retiring his number. Are
Luke Longley
retiring his Lecoq Sportifs? Is that what? I mean, it's great. Joe was immensely
fun. I love that he wore those too.
No matter how they honor him, it's fine. But it's like, what are we doing? Because we're not actually, there's no number going up in the rafters. And if there was, you'd have to also retire it for Luke Longley and Kendall Gill and
Kendall.
13, anybody?
None that I can remember. I'm sure there was a swingman in the recent vintage. But yeah, it's, you're going to see a lot of that this year because I think they're going to do that with teams that don't want to retire. Like, where did Jason Kidd play? You know, Jason Kidd's not going to get his number retired in Phoenix, obviously, but they're going to give him a Jason Kidd night probably just to put the fans in the seat and go, hey, you made the 76. Good for you. Good for you. Good for you. And the Noah thing is, yeah, that's odd. That's odd, especially with so few Raptors numbers in the rafters. And, you know, he kind of gave his body for the Bulls. That whole crew did.
Yep.
Dane gave his spinal cord. Noah gave his knees. So that is odd. And he's too young for this.
Maybe
too.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe he gets out there and they give him a certificate for free knee replacements.
Maybe they could just let him play in the second and third quarters because the Bulls are having issues.
Wait, they don't have a backup center right now.
Yeah, I mean.
Are the Knicks still paying him? That would be even better.
Oh, yeah, that's a good call. They probably. Thank you, Phil. Again, Phil Jackson, thank you. Knicks had a little momentum going for him after Carmelo Anthony. They get in the playoffs, Jared Smith, everyone loves him. What do? We bring Phil Jackson in, just ruin the whole thing. Just completely cut the wind out of the sails. Like the roadies at Woodstock trying to cut the backdrop of the Grateful Dead show because the wind was going up and the Grateful Dead psychedelic light show was gonna, they didn't want it. It was gonna, the stage was moving because it was basically like a giant boat. So they'd get up there with knives and cut the big sheet that they were using for the psychedelic road show. That is gonna be I should get into the Dead now. That's a great story. Yeah, that's really cool. Like, you know, pirates up there, these roadies. It's so weird that that he just went straight. It's very Phil Jackson what he did there. I'm glad, and it was put together by Irving Azoff. At around the same time that the Bulls were star fucking with you know Dwayne Wade and Rajon Rondo and all that crew. So it was but they're back now. Both teams are back. It's normal. You can root for them. You can like them. Julius Randle's gonna crush some hearts tomorrow, and it's gonna stink for Bulls fans, but that's okay.
You made a good point. So the only retired numbers the Bulls have, 4 for Jerry Sloan, 10 for Bob Love and B.J. Armstrong, 23 for some guy I don't remember, 33 for Scottie Pippen, 91 for Dennis Rodman. Is that it?
God, I didn't even remember that they retired Rodman.
And Stacey King, half of Stacey King's career gets the 21 retired.
Chris Duhon, that boy could get after it. That young man could get after it. I say young man because he was my age when he was getting after it. But, oh, boy.
I think that's all. And then the only one coming down the pike, maybe. And they're going to will they retire one for the youngest in NBA history?
They will. They will. They don't care.
They have an issue, will. I've noticed. To any of the juniors who are on their team. That entire bench is somebody junior. I've noticed. We get it. You all had dads. All of us did.
All of the. I'm just thinking, like, they can't. If they do Luol Deng, he wore Ron Harper's number. Yep. Noah wore Longley's number. It's a big convoluted situation that, you know, shockingly, the Bulls kind of dropped the ball on.
The Bears retired 7 for George McAfee and George Halas. The Cubs retired 31 for Greg Maddux and Fergie Jenkins. It's been done before.
God, wouldn't it be great?
The Yankees retired 8 for Bill Dickey and Yogi Berra.
I think Ryan Zorf should induct Sammy Sosa into the Sox Hall of Fame just to stick it to the Ricketts.
There you go. We appreciate him at least. Good old number 25.
He was fun. He was fun. You know, 4 strikeouts a game. Hair waving everywhere.
Sammy had a season.
Missing a cutoff, man.
We did the whole. I believe the stat that the Sox bragged about was. So this would have been 2 years before I got traded to the Cubs. He was the only player in the major leagues who had double digits Doubles, triples, homers, stolen bases, and outfield assists. But then Mike and I looked at it, and we also added a few, which were errors, caught stealings. There was something else. Walks, almost, I think. But yeah, Sammy was this with the Sox. He was this raw, like
that three walk August that put him over the top. Yeah, he was like the Andre Kirilenko of baseball players, except Andre Kirilenko could, you know, probably hit a little better if given. He was raw. I mean, that whole team was raw in a weird, you know, like Dan Pasqua is like the opposite version of that raw.
Yeah, that's right.
It's still raw. Still, you know, Greg Walker.
He had a tough time with the FedEx guy.
I liked Sammy because, I mean, he just, not the Cubs Sammy. You loved the Cubs Sammy. I liked the Sox Sammy because he was just oblivious to the sort of turnaround the White Sox were having at the moment. And he was just kind of making it all about Sammy, but in the sort of like, you got the feeling he felt like he was their franchise player, even though he was striking out 180 times a game.
Well, he got traded for Harold Baines. So with the White Sox, you trade for Harold Baines, you are the franchise.
Pretty much, yeah. That's statute.
Speaking of retired numbers, the White Sox retired Harold's name or number in name. They retired his name. He retired his number while he was playing for the Orioles. Reinsdorf couldn't wait. Got to do it now. He ended up coming back.
What's that, man? Listen, Andy, he was a very good baseball player, and when you're a very good baseball player, anything can happen to you. Number retirement, Hall of Fame, whatever.
Congratulations to Harold Baines. He replaced another White Sox, Nellie Fox, as the worst player in the Hall of Fame.
That's right.
A long legacy with the Sox.
I mean, the 20th century edition. I'm sure there's like some Juniper Jones that got in there from the, you know,
well,
the,
yeah, any of
the Paw City Mudcats.
I think we decided it was it could have been Johnny Evers of Tinkerstone.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
He was not good. It could have been
him. He's terrible.
He's in the Hall of Fame because of a poem.
It's a poem. It's a good poem. Pretty good poem.
Robert Frost did his induction. It was very fitting.
That's right. Maya Angelou came out fanning herself.
Let me tell you about a young man.
No point.
Johnny Evers.
And Harold Baines played for 42 years. And no point in those 42 years were any of us like, oh, Cooperstown bound.
Yep.
This guy who's lacing occasional hits and you know, that's about it. Love Harold Baines, but Hall of Fame bound.
Somewhere Moises Alou is going, him? I hit 350 one year. Did he? No. All right. All right. Well, I think we have, I think we've hit every topic. I think we checked all the topics we talked about.
I did bring up Greg Walker. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was he the one that got vertigo? No, Nick Asaski.
Nick Asaski.
Asaski got vertigo. Yeah, that's right. It kind of look a little played alike.
All right. Well, thank you, Kelly. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Go Bulls.
So for everybody who made it to the end, of course, you can subscribe to Kelly's Substack at tsa.substack.com and mine at pointlessexercise.com. And we won't wait as long to do this again.
The Bulls are going to be flowing all year. It's Bull City now. The Hawks are on fire and no one cares about baseball anymore because everyone's locked out.
Bears. Everybody on the Bears has COVID. So you might as well just watch the Bulls.
I'm not an idiot.
All right. Well, thank you, Kelly.
No problem, man. Thank you to everyone who listened. It's good to be a Bulls fan again.
Many of us have herpes.